We're going to fast twice a week. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We need to be obedient to God to have prevailing prayer. And to prevail in prayer, our lives must conform to God's will. God will hear us when we pray according to God's will. Christ himself said in the Garden of Gethsemane when the end was very near, "Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done." Amen. So we have to pray for God's will in our life. The next thing is the expectancy of prayer. There needs to be, if there's going to be an answer, there needs to be some sort of expectancy from the person who is doing the praying. We need to fully expect an answer from God. And many times I've been turned down when I've talked to God about things. Sometimes my answer is no. I've told you before. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. And after a long wait, assuming I would get an answer, he decided not to answer at all. The answer did become no. But we have to be expectant in our prayer when we pray. I tell you, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 7, the Bible says we're taught or are told to pray without ceasing. And obviously, we can't stay on our knees 24/7. We know that. But we can have a prayerful attitude, and we can have that open line of communication to God 24/7. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but since I've been retired, I'm home a lot. I'm a homebody. I like to stay on my little piece of heaven sometimes. And I talk all the time. I imagine if somebody came by and saw me and I didn't know they were there, they might think I was nuts. You know, he's talking to himself. He's even answering himself. But I tell you, I talk to God all the time. He's my friend. God himself came down and told them one time, Miriam and Aaron, he said, "This is my friend. I talk to Moses face to face. I don't talk to this man in shadows and dreams and visions and stuff like that. You're messing with a man that's my friend," he said. Amen. I want to be that kind of friend to God. Amen. So we need to not have half a heart and expect nothing. But we need to pray with expectancy. So we need to pray in faith. Faith is the ultimate condition required in prevailing prayer. Without faith, the Bible said, it is impossible to please God. So if I'm going to please God in my prayer, I need to pray with faith. Amen. It is a requirement to pray in faith and to believe God. Amen. The key to answered prayer is belief that God is hearing and trust that he will answer. And I tell you, anybody can pray in faith and petition God for an answer in your life. Amen. It is your lifeline, the Christian's lifeline, your prayer. So what else we need to do? We need to pray in perseverance. Jesus persevered in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had his disciples with him, and he tried to have them stay awake, and I'm so glad he didn't say, "Well, you guys don't pray, I'm not going to pray." I tell you, I'm glad he persevered. I'm glad he stayed with it. I'm glad he went ahead and took the burden of our sins on the cross and was effective in his prayer. Amen. The effectiveness of prayer is illustrated by King Asa of Judah. And he was facing the Ethiopian army. And scripture bears it out. He had about four times as many men as Asa did. He was outnumbered, greatly outnumbered. And Asa did the only thing he knew he could do. He prayed. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, 'Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power.'" Asa was recognizing the power of God. God, you can work when you've got more men than you need. You can work when you don't have anything. Amen. "Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee." Verse 12, "So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown. that they could not recover themselves. I'm telling you, when God does a job, he does it good. Amen. For they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. When you petition God, he will take care of your problem, and you will walk away with money in your pocket, so to speak, with spoils, with more power, with more grace, with more understanding about God and what he can do through prayer. I tell you, if you're facing battles that you don't think you could possibly win, I tell you, don't give up. Just pray. Just pray. Hallelujah. Asa recognized his weakness against this army. And when we begin to recognize our weakness and understand that all our efforts are at best are futile, through our earnest prayer, God will come to my rescue and come to your rescue. And like I say, sometimes it may not be in our time. You know, we may think, well, God, don't look like you're going to help me. Just hang on. Just pray. Amen. That is your lifeline. I tell you, it's the ones who think they can do it all on their own are the ones that are in great danger. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When I'm weak and I don't think nothing can help me through, that's when his strength is made perfect. Or that's when his strength has displayed itself to you through your prayer. Amen. So any Christian can be effective in prayer. If we'll just kind of use the approach of Asa. And he found out and he exhibited the fact that God is no respecter of persons whatsoever. God is within reach of everyone, and he will hear the cry of those that call on his name. Amen, amen. Aren't you thankful for prayer? Aren't you thankful God has given us the ability to petition him and to talk to him every day if we need be? Amen. The next thing is prayer changes people. The church in this modern age has to have prayers. It's a focal interest and practice. Amen. Prayer changed others, and it will change us if we'll make the dedication to God. King Hezekiah of Judah is an example. Isaiah 38:4-5 talks about Isaiah the prophet went into him, told him, you're going to die soon, Hezekiah. But we all know the story about Hezekiah when he heard the sentence of death pronounced on him, became very penitent. And like I said, in Psalm 51, God loves that contrite heart and that broken spirit. It's on the other end of the spectrum of prayer, which the Bible says he hates. Amen. So prayer will change the mind of God. And I mean, old Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he began to petition God. And you know the story how God changed the mind of the prophet and go in and said, you tell him he's got 15 more years. I tell you, when it seemed like all hope is gone, God will change his mind sometimes. I think about Nathan went into David when he was talking to him about his sin, and he was telling him all about it, and David realized what Nathan the prophet was saying. The next thing out of Nathan's mouth said, David, you're not going to die. You know what the sentence was for what David had done? Death. I tell you, we serve a sovereign God. He's able to do exactly what he wants to do. He can change his mind. Amen. And that was what the situation was with Hezekiah through his prayer. Prayer will change circumstances. Prevailing prayer, I tell you, by a body of believers can change circumstances around them and in them. And I tell you, when the disciples began to pray for boldness and declare the name of Jesus to their generation, the scripture says the place was literally shaken. And I didn't write these down. Acts 4:23. I might have gave that to Sister Martha. I don't know. Did I, Sister Martha? I'll read it out of the Bible if I didn't. Yeah, there it is. Listen to this prayer. They were praying for boldness. They had just, Peter just before had been in front of the magistrates and the high priest and all this sort of stuff. And they saw Peter's boldness before them. And this is what they said. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. This is him talking to the Christians, other people. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Didn't the prayer Jesus taught them started out recognizing who God was? That's what they did. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. These guys are praying to God. They're petitioning God. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by thy name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. This was not a bunch of sinners that needed the Holy Ghost. These were people of the church of the book of Acts that were praying for boldness. I'm telling you, you need courage and you need boldness in your life. Pray. It's your lifeline. Your lifeline includes having boldness and courage. Now, boldness is not some impulsive action that you take to embarrass yourself or somebody else. But it is courage to stand before the kings, or if you're standing in front of a pauper. It doesn't matter. God needs to give us boldness, and we get that through prayer. And the Bible says when they prayed, the place was shaken. So it tells me that God himself came down and answered their prayer, gave them that boldness. And if you read the scriptures a little further, it talks about Peter and them are standing before the high priest and the Pharisaical council again. And I tell you, they wanted to kill him. They wanted, even though Christ had already been hung on the cross and died and rose again, and the church had been established in the book of Acts, they still wanted to stop the name of Jesus. And at one point they said, you're still trying to make the blood be on our hands. They didn't want to believe that. And they were wanting to do away with Peter. And the Bible says he gave them a little space, the Pharisaical council, which means he sent them out of the room for a minute. And a man stood up by the name of Gamaliel, the Pharisee, and said, folks, I can name you two people that started something with a band of followers. And both of them are dead. It's all come to naught, but I'm telling you about this man. You better be careful regarding this man or how you touch this man. He says this is, if a man, it's going to die of its own volition. It's of naught. But if it's not, you're going to find yourself fighting God. I'm telling you, the place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. God will not put you out on a limb and saw it off behind you. Amen. He will answer your prayer, but it is up to us to exercise our right to pray. So I'm encouraging us today, continue using your prayer as your lifeline to Jesus Christ and to God. And let him know your petitions. Let him know what your need is. And I brought this little thing. Anybody know what that is? It is a prayer shawl. In the Hebrew, it's called a tallit. This blue line running through it was put in there to remind people of the sanctity of the law. The knots were tied on the corners. Right here, you can see these knots. It's to remind the people of the 600 plus precepts of the laws of God. And I want to show you the difference in the prayer. By the way, the prayer shawl is used by rabbis. It's used by people that go to the temple to pray. And the first thing they do is pull that prayer shawl up over their head prior to saying their prayer or reading the scripture. Jesus Christ himself had a prayer shawl. If you read the story about the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I might just touch the hem of his garment. She was talking about the word used with a cuspidon. That's that little part right here on the corner that has the knots in it in the tassel. She said, if I can just touch his prayer shawl, because I know the prayer of a righteous man and the life of a righteous man will avail much. And that's what she was after right there. Knowing full well her condition would defile Jesus Christ under Jewish law with her condition. Numbers chapter 15, verse 38. Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes, borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you. For a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring. We've read about the prayer of the Pharisee. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. I tell you, there is a difference in how you pray. And what was established years ago, recorded in the book of Numbers, was defiled and used for personal gain in the book of Matthew. Folks, we got to be careful how we use our lifeline. I don't want the bungee cord to snap. I don't want a tear in my airline from my tank to my mouth or my shroud lines to come loose from my canopy. I want my lifeline to last. I want it to be sure. But I want to pray in the right fashion. And I encourage us when we pray. I don't care if you're praying at home, praying here, where you at, praying in your car, on the job, it doesn't matter. Make sure you're praying in earnest. Make sure you're praying in faith. And make sure you persevere in your prayer, because that's how it becomes a prevailing prayer. Prayer is your lifeline. Don't ever lose it. Amen. I love the Lord. I love you this morning. Thank you for your kind attention. And let's remember to pray and to be earnest in our prayer. God bless you. Take a break. We'll be back in a little while for morning worship.